Lift your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody lift up your voice in this house right now. God's going to pour out his spirit in this house. Oh, hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Stand with me in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're able to do so, God has sent a man of God to bring us rhema words from God. And we love the man of God in this church. We love when God sends us a man to preach the word of God to us. And we're gonna follow with what the Holy Ghost wants to do today. Whatever God wants to do. If you've come needing deliverance, there's deliverance in the house of the Lord today. If you've come needing the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you can receive the Spirit of God in this house. If you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you can be baptized today in water in Jesus' name, and all of your sins can be washed away in the waters of baptism. I believe God, somebody's going to leave different here today before we go. Praise God. As the man of God is coming, why don't you lift your hands one more time and thank the Lord for sending a man of God with rhema words from God this morning. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands unto the Lord. God is so great. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can be seated for a moment. Amen. So glad to, we're so honored to be back here in Springfield. Amen. With your pastor and his wife and brother and sister Harriet. And we're such a wonderful host. Amen. Praise God. And so kind to us. And we're so thankful. Amen. To be able to be here and to be with you and to be with them. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God's doing great things. Praise God. I found out that when God does great things, it may not look great to me. But when God does something, he always does it great. Praise God. And so, such an awesome presence of the Lord. I'm glad my wife is with me. Amen. And she's able to be here, and I thank the Lord for that. Praise God. I'm going to give you what God gave me back in November. Is that all right? Praise God. And then we'll just see what God does. Is that all right? Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, God's going to talk to you. God's going to talk. The question is, do you have ears to hear? Yeah, I can hear. No, when Jesus said they have ears but cannot hear, they hear but they don't. They hear what's being said, but to hear is to respond to what you hear. So if you don't respond to what you hear, then you're not really hearing it. It's kind of going in one ear and out the other. Anybody know what that means? If you've got kids, you know what that means. You talk to them and you look and say, man, everything I tell you goes in one side and out the other. Praise God. But I want to give you what God gave me for the church in the North America. Because I've been praying, God, I want to know why. Why can't we have revival? Now, revival to some people and revival to me may be two different things. Because I understand that you can have church growth but not have revival. But if you have revival, you'll automatically have church growth. somewhere in the process of that, the church will begin to grow. But you can have church growth. And I understand that you can do certain things, and elder, even doing certain things, you're going to get a percentage of return on that. You know, and I don't know how many of you have ever farmed, but we planted gardens when I was a kid. And if you plant enough, you'll receive. It's just a percentage. It's just law of average. But when the church enters a true revival, I'm talking about true revival. Harvest time is nowhere near as hard as it is right now. Because the Spirit of God draws people. The Spirit of God draws. And so let me give you what the Lord spoke to me in a vision. Is that all right? If you have your Bibles, turn me to Exodus chapter 34 for a moment. And I got a watch here, so don't worry. Amen. Praise God. Exodus 34. You can stand. I see some of you wanting to stand. It's Pentecostals are like yo-yos. We're up and down all the time anyway. Amen. Praise God. Exodus 34, 12. He says, "Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee." So God's telling Israel through Moses, be careful that you don't make covenants with those around you when you get in the land, because that covenant you'll make with them will become a snare to you. It'll take you away from where you're supposed to be with me. He said, "Ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God." Now listen to what the Lord says. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Look at your neighbor and say, did you know he's a jealous God? I'm a jealous husband. Don't fool my wife. Amen. And so don't fool my wife. And I don't want my wife flirting. I don't want my wife flirting with another man. She's going to flirt. I want you to flirt with me. Don't be flirting with another man. I'm jealous. I may do something stupid if I see you flirting. Amen. God says, I'm a jealous God.
Come on.
Israel was his bride. I'll talk to you about he's a jealous husband. He's a jealous husband.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings. Father, now I can't do anything without you, so I need you to help me right now speak to this beautiful people what you've given me. Lord, in the name, touch our ears that we can hear, a heart to receive. Help us to walk in your ways with all of our heart. And Father, I give you the glory. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Clap your hands and you can be seated. In Ezekiel chapter 16, Israel's pictured as an unwanted child, exposed, abandoned, and left to die. But then the Lord saw her, and he rescued her and washed her and clothed her and covered her nakedness and protected her.
The words come to excellent ornaments in Ezekiel 16:7 means that she come to full maturity. And when no one wanted Israel, God said, I spread my garment over you.
Right.
So when Israel became mature, God said, I pulled my garment over you. And see, when a suitor spread his garment over a young girl, such as Boaz to Ruth, that meant that they were engaged and that they would be married. So what God was saying was that I took you when you was a child and I raised you up and you become mature. When you matured, I spread my garment. I took you for myself as my bride. And when I took you to Mount Sinai. And there, according to Deuteronomy 32, they entered into a covenant, which was a marriage covenant. When God laid out his ornaments, his commandments and statutes, and Israel said, we will obey. It was the same thing as a wife saying, I do.
Right.
But then God says in Ezekiel 16, he said, but thou trust in thine own beauty and played the harlot because of thy renown. Renown means that Israel became famous and became popular and became accepted. So when Israel became prosperous and famous, she forgot her husband who had blessed her. And the bride began to worship the blessing and not the blesser. And God's bride then took his blessings of wealth, gold and silver and whatever else, and she took that he had given her, and she made gods from the blessings of the Lord. And then she began to love the gifts more than the giver.
Come on, help us.
Yes. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses warns Israel of the danger of being blessed. Did you know there's a danger in being blessed of God? Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. And Moses warns Israel. He said, when you have houses that you did not fill, you have wells that you did not dig, and you have vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And he said, when you're eaten and you're full, when you become satisfied, you become fat and you become blessed. He said, beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought you out of the land of bondage. When you get everything you need, Israel, beware that you don't forget the God that took you when nobody wanted you. Nobody would have anything to do with you. You were naked, you're exposed and left to die. But I took you when nobody had you. And I washed you and I cleansed you and I covered you in my garment. And I brought you and made a covenant. You become my bride. And then when I've given you everything that your heart desired, be careful, Israel, that you don't forget me. Because the danger of being blessed is you can get so blessed of God that you forget the God that brought you out of what you were in. Yes, you begin to forget the one that blesses you, and you begin to think that it's you that got you to where you are. And so eventually, because of this, God, the husband would take from his wife all that she had been given by him. Others would possess her land. Others would live in her cities. Others would live in their homes. Others would eat of their vineyards. And others would take their wealth for their own self. And God, the husband of Israel, allowed it all to be taken in hopes that his bride would turn her heart back to him and realize, had it not been for him, elder, we wouldn't have this. So we got to... It's not enough that we had a temple to worship in. It's not enough that we had the feast days. It's not enough that we celebrate Passover. You can do all the ritual stuff and still not love the one that it represents. You can just go through the ritual. And that's what Israel was doing. They were going through a ritual, yet worshiping other gods. And they thought, if we go through the ritual enough, God will still keep us where we're at. But God said, your heart's far from me. Because you love the blessing more than the blesser. Yes. And the bride begins, bride forgot her husband. And turned to other gods. Begin to bow to the things of the other nations. In her own conceit, brother, she believed that because she was God's bride, that God would overlook, her husband would overlook, elder, her worship of other gods while she turned her back on him. And the New Testament church, it's amazing, is pictured also as the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5, Paul compares the relationship between the husband and wife to Christ, the husband, and the church, the bride. John tells the New Testament wife, he said, watch this, what he says, love not the world. And we all agree with that. It means world system. But there's something else in there that I have to be careful with, because he said, love not the world. Knew the things that are in the world. And then he tells me why the bride cannot fall in love with things. Because things can be the blessings of God. He said, because when you fall in love with things and you love the world, he said, the love of the Father is not in you. Jesus. Things cannot, are not necessarily sinful. But when the bride begins to love the blessing more than the blesser, then the bride has a tendency to fall out of love with the one that gave her the blessing. Yes. You see, my parents, maybe some of you elders from me, we remember when you were laughed at to be Pentecostal. I remember tent meetings and how they would flatten tires and throw eggs and all kind of stuff at you. My parents lived through all of that. You didn't have a keyboard, elder. You luckily have a piano and maybe it was in tune. You was lucky to have a guitar player, and that was unheard of. And you had a little run-down church on the other side of the tracks. And nobody wanted to do have anything to do with you. You was in tongue-talking holy rollers that roll in the floor and run the aisle. You got mocked at, and your kids got mocked in church. But not today. We got Catholics speaking in tongues now. Oh no, we get now our leaders get invited to all the secular church stuff. We're pretty much accepted now, brother. Now we got keyboards and drums and guitars and our singing is off the charts. Nothing wrong. And I may repeat this, God help me. Let me ask you something. Could you worship him without this choir? You say you can. You say you can. I wonder. Paul warned the church, warned Timothy, of the church in the last days. He said, this is the church, Timothy, in the last days. He said, this, Timothy, this is how you're going to know that the church is in the last days. He said, because here's what the bride's going to look at. And you can read it in 2 Timothy 3. You can read it. He gives a description of the bride in the last days. He said, one of those descriptions, he said, they're going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's the description of the church in the last day, Timothy. They're going to love pleasure more than God. Lovers of pleasure, meaning a desire for carnal things and amusement, recreation, and entertainment. Timothy, in the last day, the bride will want to be entertained and amused more than anything else. Yes. They'll chase carnal things But they won't presume God's presence. And he said, in the last day, Timothy, the bride would have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They will have an image, meaning they would have an outward show of being the bride of Christ, but have no inward power. Why? Because pleasure has taken the place of his presence. And so, oh God, help me. Jesus, help me. You see, if worship and it's not, it's in prayer isn't entertaining today for the bride, then the bride just says, why should I bother with it? Because it's not entertaining to spend an hour, 2 hours in prayer. And I want to be entertained. And the music ain't just right, so I can tap my foot and clap my hands. Then why should I go? It's boring to me. See, some of you done turned this boy off. See, the bride no longer fellowships with her husband out of love. She's got to be entertained and amused, elder, to fellowship with him. She's lost the art, as my 88-year-old grandfather was when he died. She's lost, the bride's lost the art of going down in the holler behind the church, and the men on one side and the women on the other side down in the woods and praying to the Holy Ghost fell. That she's lost the art of being having his presence without all of this. Nothing wrong with this. I love this. It's a tool. But don't kid yourself. Just because this can move your soulish realm doesn't mean you're in his presence. And music will touch your soulish realm. That's why it's there to get you to worship God. And the moment it touches you in your soul and you begin to respond to him, now your spirit reaches out to him. But to sit there and tap your foot and cross your say, isn't that a good song? You're just being entertained. I didn't come to be entertained. I've been entertained enough. I've been enough camp meetings to be entertained. I've been enough conferences to be entertained. I got to have a move of God. And the only way I can have a move of God is I got to have his presence. Whether I got a song or I got a singer, I got a preacher, I got to have his presence. So when the wife falls in love, pleasure more than her husband, she takes on a form of godliness. She can say all the right things. But there's no relationship. She moves into that area where she has to have things to be pleased. You know why? Because the husband himself does not please her anymore. Yeah. And so the music and the preaching has got to be a certain way, or gosh, I just ain't going to show up Sunday. That's not my favorite evangelist, so I'll stay home and watch the ball game. Yeah, see, you like entertainment. Yeah. And please don't get me wrong when I make this statement, please. See, when the wife is in love with things, she's got to have a coffee shop before service, not a prayer meeting. And I drink coffee before church. I had 2 cups this morning. The elder bought me a good large cup of coffee because I've been up since 4:45 praying. And so, brother, if I don't have some coffee, Yeah. You see, when she moves into the love of pleasure, she's got to have snacks before a service starts, because she has, yeah, because see, now she has great music and she's got doctorate degrees, so she doesn't need his presence. And so I'm at a youth is this okay? I'm sitting at a youth meeting in a huge church, beautiful church. And I understand getting something to drink. I do. We all get thirsty. I don't understand why people's got to have something to drink that sits there with their arms crossed and never do nothing. But I don't understand. But whatever, you know. And I'm sitting there and I watch this lady, and she has this carton like you get it at McDonald's, and she has two coffees, iced coffees, or what it looked like to me, in one hand, and she's got cookies in the other hand in the sanctuary. And she walks past me and goes all the way to the top, and I, before I knew it, there's people in front of me. Before I said, "My God, are we at a concert? Or did we come to have a move of God? Where did we get, elder, to the Hindus dare not walk in their temple with such..." And you can be arrested in a Buddhist temple if you wear your shoes in one. But not the good old apostolics. We can eat cookies and donuts in our place where we meet God. Why? Because the doctor's going to preach, and the musicians are going to play, and the singers are going to play, and we got it. No, we don't have it. No, we don't have it. Because if we had it, we could turn this world, this country upside down. That's what I'm trying to say. We've lost it somewhere. We've lost it somewhere because we want to be entertained and we want to be amused. And if it's not that, I'd just soon to stay home. I mean, our kids can't even come to church if it ain't got a certain beat to it no more. What's the deal? Yeah, I'm not against snacks. I'm not. Yeah. It's amazing how the wife enjoys all the blessings of the husband, but she ignores her husband. Ignores him days and weeks and months at a time. Let me help you out. If my wife went a whole week without talking to me, we would have a problem. Because I'd be wanting to know why. Because you enjoyed the food I went and got for you. Enjoy the clothes that you got. Enjoy the home that we got. And you say, "But what's wrong with me?" Come on. And wife, if your husband went 2 or 3 weeks without talking to you, you'd want to know what. It wouldn't take 2 or 3 weeks. About 3 days, you'd say, "What is your issue?" Come on, somebody. But isn't it amazing that the bride of Christ can go days without talking to her husband? Days, elder, without talking to her husband. Oh, but you enjoy everything the husband's got. You enjoy his air you breathe. You enjoy his water you drink. You enjoy the car he gives you, in the road you ride on, the gas you put in it, and the food he puts on your table, and the clothes he puts on your back. You enjoy all the blessings, but we ignore the husband. what we teach our kids now. Brother, we teach our kids, look right, talk right, spit right, go to church, obey, and you're okay. No, you're not okay. There's more than looking right, spitting right, walking right, and talking right, and going to church. It's called relationship with the one that brought you out. That's what's going to keep you out of the world. It's called building you a prayer room in your bedroom. Get off of your iPad and flat screen. Get on your face. Know the God that saves you. Why do they say that 2 out of 3 of our children walk away from God? By the time they're 20, they're gone. I'll tell you why. Because they'd rather be entertained, because that's what they were taught. And it comes a point, from the point, elder, the entertainment has got to go to another level. And the thing about our church is it's already at one level, and it ain't gonna be. That's it is what it is. So they got to find something else to move their soulless realm. And so they got to look outside. Why? Because they've been taught if it's not entertaining, then it's boring to you. Well, when people get bored today, they leave and find something else. That's what we've been. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah. They got to find something else. It's like drugs. You may start out with pot, but you got to have something stronger later on, something stronger, something stronger, something stronger. But when you're hooked on entertainment and it started in the church, it's a matter of time before you go outside to find it, because the church won't satisfy you. It will never satisfy you. The church was never designed to satisfy you. It was designed to point you to the one that will satisfy you. Let me help you out. Church is boring without Jesus. Church is boring without Jesus. Being religious is boring without Jesus. I got to have a relationship, which means I got to pay attention to the husband. Well, I just don't know how to talk to him. Talk to him like you talk to your boyfriend. Talk to him like you talk to your girlfriend. Don't tell me you don't know how to talk. The problem is he's boring to you. Because we like to be entertained. So we ignore a husband. It's amazing, though, when you ignore your spouse, how your love for your spouse gets cold. Yeah. It's all because the heart now has been given to other things. The things. Things. It's amazing how the wife quickly forgets that her husband called her out of darkness into his marvelous light. How quick she forgets that in time past she was not a people, but now the people of God. When nobody wanted you. How quickly the bride of Christ forgets that he was made sin for her, that she might be made the righteousness in him. How quickly she has forgotten that she is not a natural branch. For the natural branch was broken off so that the Gentile bride might be grafted into the olive tree. And how quickly she forgets that even Paul wrote to the bride, he said, be careful, because if God did not spare the natural branches, which was Israel, he will not spare you either. You don't hear that preached at camp meeting. You know why? Because nobody shouts. And you may not get asked back to preach the next camp meeting. You're going to hear that preached in revivals and all the conferences. No, you're going to hear that kind of stuff preached. Because we've been duped into believing, brother, that because we got his name and we've been filled with the Spirit, we can just about do anything we want. We can ignore him and everything is going to be. Are you kidding me? That's what Israel did.
And Paul said, they ignored him because they fell in love with his blessings and made idols out of it and bowed down to it. That wasn't all they did, but that's basically what they done. And he said, their husband got tired of it, so he cut them off, and he took you and a wild olive tree, cut you off of the root of that wildness and grafted you into the true olive branch. And Paul says, be careful. If he cut the natural branch off, he'll cut you off. What a scary thought. See, we've been taught that the only way you can get cut off is to blaspheme. I mean, what Paul said. The problem is the Western world, North American church, has forgotten who she is and who she belongs to. There's a reason my wife has my name. She no longer is a Malone, she is a Jordan. Or as the French dude in Florida said, Jordan. Whatever that is. That's what he told me, I don't know. You know. But then again, it's not Michael, it's Michelle. If my name was Michael, I'd change it if I live in France. There's a reason she's got my last name, brother. It identifies her with her husband. It identifies her to the one she belongs to. So everywhere she goes, she signs a piece of paper, Sandy Mae Jordan, not Sandy Mae Malone Jordan. It's Sandy Mae Jordan. She identifies with me and shows everybody she belongs to me. So that net kid across the desk over there won't be flirting with her. Oh, you're married. Yeah, I'm married. Oh, okay. Let's identify her. Come on, somebody. There's a reason, Pastor, we have his name. Paul said, I've espoused you to one husband. Which means to be engaged or to marry to. And every Jewish girl, when she got engaged, was baptized and put on her wedding garment and took the last name of the man she was fixing to be married before she ever had a marriage supper. She walked all over the city and everybody knew who she belonged to, even though they hadn't had the marriage supper yet. But we had ours, but we know to know who we belong to. Come on, somebody. I belong to him. I've been espoused to him. I enjoyed the blessing, but my God, don't let me fall in love with the blessing. Yeah. See, the North American church now is known all over the world. Yeah, I don't do a lot of Facebook or messengers, and I got these guys in Pakistan and India, you know, that they want to talk all day long. I can't talk all day long. And I wish I could, but I can't. And are you a pastor? Yeah, I'm a pastor. Where do you pastor? I pastor First Pentecost Church of Hurley in South Mississippi on the Gulf Coast. Who are you affiliated? United Pentecost Church. Oh, yeah. I know that. Known all over the world. Government leaders know us now. We hobnob with the big boys. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm glad we got people that do represent us. I mean, really. It's okay. It's all right. We're known. We're financially blessed. I mean, the church, the bride in North America is blessed. I know you think you're poor, but you're not. The least one in this building has got more than about 60% of this world. I mean, which one of you sent your kids out in the morning to go get water and they got to walk 3 miles to get water and bring it back 3 miles and dump it in a bucket so you have water for the next 3 days? How many of you got inside toilets? Because about 30% of this world don't have an inside toilet. How many of you got a car? How many of you got two cars? About 20, 30%, 40% of this world don't even have a vehicle. How many of you got education? Most of the world don't have an education. We're blessed. Yeah, we're blessed. Our music is great. This was awesome music this morning. And singing. Yeah. Our ability to expound the word of God is like it's never been before. We're an educated people and we got doctorate's degree. Yeah. And while we seek for miracles and healing and revival, and I do too. I mean, you spend an hour just seeking him. I mean, when that pagan woman came to Jesus for her vexed daughter, and he said, it's not meat for me to give the loaf to the dogs. She made an astounding statement. She said, yeah, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And she's talking about a lap dog, not a street dog. A dog that nobles had, and he would sit on their lap and he'd feed them a crumb into his lap. So she caught on to what he was saying, and she said, I'm only claiming what belongs to me. I'm not asking for the loaf. Just give me the crumb. I understand the loaf belongs to the children, but the crumb belongs to me. So I just ask you for a crumb. Are you hearing me? Yeah, and you know why she asked for the crumb? Because she understood the yeast that's in the loaf is also in the crumb. She says, so the power that's in the loaf is in the crumb. I don't need a whole, I don't even need a slice of it. Just give me the crumb. Come on, somebody. And so we're the children of the loaf. Now we live like we live on crumbs, but we're the children of the loaf. Yeah. You understand that miracles and healings and all, that's just a crumb. And we're happy people get miracles. I am too. I've seen some and I'll tell you about them. But I would love to have a slice of the loaf. I would love to have my slice of the loaf. I prefer the whole loaf, but I would love to have a slice if I can get a slice, because it won't take but one slice to turn Springfield upside down. Are you hearing me, somebody? It won't take much, but I'm not going to get it as long as I'm entertaining and I want to be amused. I tell you how amused we are. COVID proved to everybody in UPC Church and Oneness Apostolic Movement how entertaining we are. Because we also got upset when football season didn't get to come in. Come on, somebody. But we didn't have a problem not coming to church. Some of us still ain't come to church. Why? 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 They go everywhere else they want. Why? Because, see, flat screen is entertaining. Because I can eat my sausage and biscuit in the morning and drink my coffee in my pajamas. Say, whoo. I watched it, Pastor. There'll be a day I'll come back. No, you ain't. You're carnal. And you want to be amused. And you want to be entertained. Because the presence of God convicts you. I'm sorry. Yeah. No longer. Can I take this off? Yeah. We no longer love the husband. We love the blessings of the husband. But as a whole, we no longer love the husband. Yeah. We love the blessing. We love the paycheck the husband has allowed us to have. We don't love him enough, and our tithing and offering proves that. Well, you got quiet on that one. You say we love things more than we love our husband. While the church as a whole suffers, our closets and our garages are full, and we want more. Yeah. And see, we love ourselves more than we love our husband, because we make time to be entertained and to do hobbies and to do vacations. And we'll take days, and I'm not against any of that, because I love to hunt, I love to fish, and I'm fixing to go on a vacation. So we'll take days for ourselves, or even all day. But we'll all hardly and gripe and struggle to spend an hour with the husband. Our smartphones and iPad gets our attention for hours. But then we tell our husband we don't have time for him. Yeah, we love ourselves more than we love our husband. Yet at the same time, the husband said, you can't bear fruit in yourself. I'm the vine, you're the branch. And he said, without me, you can do nothing. He said, we declare we have fruit because we have the form. But watch this. It takes intimacy between a husband and a wife to bear fruit. Without intimacy, listen to me, without intimacy, there can be no fruit bearing. If it is, it's artificial insemination. It's artificial. Are you hearing me? You can't bear fruit if you don't have a relationship with the husband. That's why Elder Revival is birthed out of relationship, not programs. I didn't say church growth. I said revival. Hey, aren't you tired of saying we're going to have revival? We're going to have revival. I'm tired of saying we're going to have revival. Let's get in the presence of Almighty God and let's have revival. Because the only way I'm going to have revival is to have a relationship with him, and I can't do that while I ignore him. You can't produce nothing if you ain't got relationship. Now you can dance and you can praise God, but I've seen devils dance and praise God. I've seen homosexuals dance and fall out speaking in tongues, go back to their lifestyle. I've seen that, folks. I've seen people dance and shout and everything, but never come back to church. Dancing and shouting, that doesn't mean you got relationship. That means the music or the preaching has touched your soulless realm. Why don't we go beyond soulless realm? Let's go beyond the soulless realm. Let's go beyond the second heaven. Let's get to the third heaven. I mean, where the burning presence of God is, where the Spirit of God burns things out of your spirit, where the Spirit of God burns things out of your mind, where the peace of God grips your heart, where there's true healing that's not for a moment but for everlasting. What? Sister Katie, whoever playing. We like quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14. But we never quote the scripture above it. Watch what he says. God says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. You understand that rain represented two things to Israel. One, his blessings. Two, his presence was among them. And that he was pleased with them. And God said, if I shut up the heavens, and there be no rain. If I command the locusts to devour your land, which is your economy, not hail, elder, but if I cause things to devour your economy, if I send a pestilence, which is a plague, among my people, not hail, not a devil. God's not saying if the devil, he said, if I shut the windows, if I send the devourer, if I send the plague. So he's telling Israel, this ain't the work of the devil, this is the work of my hand. I've commanded it. I sent it. He said, if I do that, and then he says, if my people, which shall be called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not a meth addict, a drug addict, prostitute, homosexual. No. You just ignore him days without number. Some of you are just waiting until you get old enough so you can walk out and do your own thing because you're bored with church. I'm tired of my mama dragging me to church. You know why you're tired? Because you don't have a relationship. Oh, you spoke in tongues and the pastor baptized you. But you ain't got a relationship. Because see, you don't walk out on the one you love. Bro, you don't walk out. I was joking with my wife one time. I said, honey, if you ever decide to leave this old boy, I said, just make sure the one you go to has got a good bass boat and some hunting property. I said, because I'm moving in with you because you ain't getting rid of me that easy. I said, where you go, I'm going to go because I love you. And see, when you love somebody, you don't get bored with them. You may get bored with the house, but you stay in the house because the one you love is in the house. You don't leave the one that you love. You leave people you don't love anymore. That's what the world does. Why you want divorce? I just don't love him no more. I just don't love her no more. What do you mean? You loved her for 6 years. I don't know. It's just, you know, it just ain't there no more, you know. Yeah, turn so you can be wicked because of your heart. He said, when you humble yourself and you pray and seek my face, turn from all of that. He said, then I'm going to hear you. See, humbling yourself and praying and seeking his face is all relationship. You don't do that unless you desire relationship. Pastor, you don't do that unless you want relationship. You don't turn from thing, from wicked things to somebody else unless this relationship is more important to you than that. That's why we have apostolics now that can go to church and get on your cell phone and flip through Facebook. Because you got a greater relationship with Facebook than you do your husband. It's amazing. It's amazing, sis. Now I'm 57. I know I look 25, but I ain't. But I'm 57. I was 24 years old when I met her. I drive 2 hours to go see her after working 8 or 9 hours. I'd take off up to Martin, Tennessee, in that Dodge Dakota truck, sis, as fast as I could get to Martin, Tennessee to see her. And on the phone, oh, no. No. Talking 2-3 hours on the phone, that was nothing. I mean, you talk to daddy, gets up and says, son, I got to go work at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you mind? Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. Clink. So you do crazy things when you're in love with somebody. See, it's when you're not in love with them. It's easy to walk off. And then, Elder, when you've been married now 32 years come March, we've been through hell and high water together. We've been together when we couldn't buy groceries for our 3 kids and had to pray them on the front porch. Yeah. And had 3 babies. Had to pray for diapers, and a U-Haul pulls up and unloads a year's supply of diapers for 2 babies. You see, when you walk through some things, love gets deeper. It's not a feeling. And some of you ain't walked long enough. That's your problem. You need to stay here. Fall in love with God. And I'm on a close. Week before Thanksgiving, I had went to my parents, because in the last 15 and a half years, I've only been to my parents, I think, twice for Thanksgiving. And so I made an excuse to go see my mom and dad so I could bow hunt a little bit. So I get up there and I spend Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I come home Friday. I've been praying, God, I want revival. And I know you're the only one that can give it. So we got to have your presence. I quit praying for miracles, sis. I don't ask God for miracles no more. You know why I don't ask God for miracles no more? Because he said, they that believe shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I don't have to play for it. It's a settled thing. It's settled, Bishop. It's settled, Elder. It's settled. I don't have to pray for that. I just have to exercise the gift of faith. Quit praying. I'll tell you what I am praying for. I've even taught the church. I said before pre-service, I said, we don't pray for God to heal, God deliver, God decide. That's God's will. I said, let's pray for his presence, because if we get his presence, we get everything with him. You see, if you get his presence, you got the loaf. The miracle just may be the slice, but you got the loaf. And everything's in the loaf. The joy, the peace, healing, miracles, deliverance, Holy Ghost, it's all in the loaf. So I get home Friday, and that night God gives me a vision. I'm like, my God, I'm watching this scenario play out, Mother. And I'm standing in this huge house. I don't even remember seeing the ceiling. It was huge. And I'm watching a husband and wife. And I'm watching the husband as he's standing up here. And I'm watching the wife, and she's in this huge house, and she's so smiling, she's so happy. And she's walking through that house, and she's enjoying everything in the house. And I hear the husband say, "Come over here to me." And she would walk close to him, but she would never acknowledge him. And she'd go over in the house, and she would tinker or play or enjoy something else in the house. And I watched the husband as his heart began to break, and I could feel the brokenness of this husband. And I knew, brother, that he could tell my wife has fallen in love with other stuff. And I could feel his brokenness. And he kept pulling, come over here to me, come to me, come to me. She'd just walk around and enjoy all that stuff. And directly I heard him. He pointed his finger at her and said, "Okay, if you want divorce, I'll give you one. I'll let you go." And I watched him, Pastor, as he picked up this beautiful, expensive chair. It was so ornate. I can't describe. It was so pretty. And I watched him as he smashed it on the floor. And I woke up and I walked, and it was early in the morning. I walk into my wife, and she's on the couch with our grandson. And I shook her and I said, "You do love me, don't you?" She said, "Yeah, baby, you know I do." And I said, you ain't gonna leave me, are you?" And she said, "Baby, I'll never leave you." I said, "Okay." And so for 2 days I pray. And the Lord, the Father said, "I've shown you my North American bride. She enjoys everything that I give her. But she ignores me, and she wants nothing to do with me." He said, "So I will in time take from her the blessings that I have given her, that her heart will be turned back to me." Said, "I don't believe that. I'm closing." And some of you need to get up and you need to run, because you know Holy Ghost is talking to you. You don't believe he'll do that? He took church from you in 2020. He took church music from you and church singing from you. He took it in 2020. I'm telling you, if we don't turn our heart to him, we're going to start losing things. Come on, we've got to love him. Come on, young girl, young ladies, young men, you gotta fall in love with him. If not, you will fall in love with things, and those things will take you from him. He's a jealous husband. He
He's a jealous husband. He's not going to let his bride ignore him. He gave too much for us. He shed too much. He's not going to let us ignore him without a repercussion. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy. Cry out. Cry out. Oh, Lord. I've fallen in love with things. They're not sin, but I love them more than I love you. I've fallen in love with self more than I love you. God, forgive us. Forgive us, Father. We didn't mean to. It's the curse of the blessing. It's the curse of the blessing. It's the curse of the blessing. Jesus. Thank you.
Why don't you connect with somebody close to you right now? Put your hand on their shoulder, grab them by the hand, whatever is appropriate. Let's pray with somebody this morning. God has spoken to us. God's trying to dig up some things in our life so the foundation is right. Hallelujah. Lord, we want you. Lord, we want you. Lord, we want you. Thank you. God is about to pour out a blessing upon this church that we have never seen before. Hear me. Hear me just a moment. What God has said here this morning, God's giving us a heads up. Because nobody beats the system. Nobody escapes. There's nobody that's exempt from falling in love with what God has given them. Nobody. What the Lord's going to do over the next few days is going to be very paramount, I believe, in where we are as a church. So we're going to come back tonight. Prayer at 5:30. We're going to get in the presence of God. We're going to let the Lord work on us. Because it doesn't matter what the Lord does in the future if it's all compromised by something like what he preached about this morning. And we want what God does here to stick. We're going to come back tonight. Let the Lord talk to us. We're going to plug into the Holy Ghost tonight. God's going to continue tonight, Monday and Tuesday. Praise God.